Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Throughout this whole process, Tony and I both are Christian, and we're very open about our Christianity. And a lot of you have actually asked us some really great questions via Facebook, email, or even just in person about how our views are with the pandemic. Tony and I have certainly seen some positives coming out of the pandemic, and of course, we relate it back to our faith, but some of you have had questions about it. So to clarify some of those questions, we have Pastor Dan joining us from Black Rock Church. Right now, he's live on the phone. Good morning, Pastor Dan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well, thank you.
So we're so glad you could be with us, Pastor Dan. I'm sure you've been getting similar questions to what we're hearing, so we want to kind of break some of them down. Since the coronavirus outbreak, a lot of people are questioning their faith. Should I even believe in something because of all the horrible things happening right now? How are you securing followers, and how do you answer that question?
So the timing is interesting. It being Holy Week, probably now is a time where you actually hold on your faith more tightly than ever, because the truth is this pandemic, unnerving, challenging for everybody, is a result of our broken, fallen world. And it's at times like these where you need a faith in a God that's bigger than what we're going through to kind of carry us through, to give us peace and comfort and strength when it seems like everything's turned upside down.
Pastor, you know, I don't know if you can answer this question, and maybe you could if we had maybe like 3 or 4 days. But is God proving a point here? I mean, is there a bigger purpose around the pandemic happening? For example, people being nicer, living simpler lives. There's less violence in the world. Was God just like fed up with the things, with the way that things were going here on Earth, that he stepped back and say, "Oh, hold on a second, I'm taking over here"? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the way I've been thinking lately.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple different ways to see this. Some would interpret it like the Noah flood, where God said, gee whiz, the human race is so messed up, I have to start all over and kind of, you know, shake things up and change things, sent by God. I would not attribute this pandemic to God. I think it's a result, actually, again, of the brokenness of our world, our desperate need for God. I think God is the one who's stepping in, saying, hey, look, I want to be your comfort. I want to be your strength. I want to be your refuge when things are so challenging. You know, we know that this pandemic, it reminds us how fragile our life is, how desperately we need something, someone greater, bigger than ourselves, who has the answers when we do not, someone we can kind of take security from and strength from when, again, when things are just reeling around us. And I think, like I mentioned, the timing is interesting, because this week, when we remember what God has done for us through Jesus, demonstrates he's not trying to harm us. He's not fed up with us. He's actually trying to save us. He's actually trying to be strong for us. That famous verse that most Christians know, which is John 3:16, where it says God sent his son Jesus into the world, and those who believe in him will be saved. The very next verse says, I remind you that God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So the reality is, I don't see God sending this pandemic. I see God saying, look, I'm your answer in this pandemic. Mm. I'm the one who sent Jesus to demonstrate I love you this much, and I want to save you rather than harm you.
So that just kind of rocked me to the core, Pastor Dan, just because I know you're right. I have actually, myself personally, I don't even have to blame anybody for this. I have sat here and I have said, you know, even to my family, to my husband, I've said, this reminds me a lot of the story of Noah and the Great Flood. To me, sometimes you do see the brokenness of the world, but I love your interpretation of it. So I just want you to clarify again that I think as a society, because humans are imperfect, we love to blame. We love to come up with who did this, why is this happening, let's point the finger. And I do think a lot of times, while it's understandable to get angry with God, you're saying that in these really tough times, instead of sitting there going, God, how can you allow this to happen, you want us to lean on the Lord and work through these problems. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Exactly. You know, I think we have this propensity to put the blame in the wrong place. We'd rather blame God for a pandemic or for trouble or for whatever, rather than recognizing he's like, no, we've made this mess, our own selfishness, sinfulness, and it's, and God's the answer. I know people often say to me before the pandemic, they'll say, man, why would God allow, you know, innocent children to starve to death? Well, I would remind them to say, you know what? God actually has provided food for everybody. Everybody, there's enough food for everyone to be fed. It's the selfishness and sinfulness of men and women who hoard and who don't distribute it evenly that causes, is the reason for starvation. That's not God's purpose. God wants everyone to be well fed and cared for and loved on. That's his purpose. It's our own brokenness and selfishness that is actually distorted. But then we end up blaming God rather than ourselves to say, we're the reason for most of the brokenness that we see around us. So yeah, I think God says, look, I'm your answer. In these times of trouble, I want to be your refuge. I want to be the person you come to because I can comfort you. I can save you. I am the answer to all of your insecurities, all your fears, ultimately, because that's how much I love you.
We're taking a moment speaking with Pastor Dan from the Black Rock Church. Sir, it's Holy Week. How is the pandemic impacting Easter week, and what are you offering to the public to celebrate safely?
Yeah, so like most churches, you know, we've gone virtual, we've gone online, and we've produced services so that people can still not miss the message of God sending his son Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf to pay for our sins. So like most churches, we're doing that. In addition, I know our church has provided a daily devotional that actually kind of focuses on what happened during that first initial Holy Week on like this Thursday, this Holy Thursday. And we'll send out the scripture. We'll do a little talk on it and direct people to say, these are the events that happened the very week of Holy Week, all the way up to, of course, Easter Sunday. And so that, with some resources we put out for families, kids, teens, and adults, in addition to our online services, we're trying to keep people connected to the message of Easter and the resurrection as much as possible.
Pastor Dan, is there a website that folks can go to if they want more information?
Sure. Black Rock's website is www.blackrock.org, and right on there you can click on a link to give you the Easter resources, the Holy Week resources.
All right. Thank you, sir, for taking the time this morning, and hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Thank you.
This morning we are joined with Milford Mayor Ben Blake. He is here with us, and Your Honor, it's a pleasure to have you here this morning. How are you holding up under the circumstances?
Oh, everybody is trying to stay as healthy as possible, so I hope you are too.
Okay. Your city has been affected just like everybody else, your town. How is the town in general? How is everybody holding up with the pandemic?
Well, everybody is being encouraged to stay home, but to stay active and to stay positive, that's the message that we're trying to get out there because, you know, everybody is in this together. Unfortunately, we can't come together. We have to stay apart by the very nature of what's happening right now. But we're trying to encourage folks to check on their neighbors, check on elderly relatives, whether that's just a text message or an email or a phone call, making sure that everybody, especially those that are the most vulnerable, are looked after.
Do you find that the city in general has been cooperative?
Yes. Again, you look at the streets in downtown Milford right now, I'm looking out my window at City Hall, and, you know, it's pretty close to a ghost town. People are heeding the warnings to make sure that they stay home as much as possible. You know, right now, everybody is just focused on the essentials and the essentials only. If you have to go to work because you're an essential worker or a critical employee, then you go to work. If you have to go to the pharmacy to get medication because you're sick, then you go to the pharmacy. If you have to go get exercise in order to stay healthy and to boost that immune system, you'd go to get exercise. But really, other than that, you're staying home and you're doing just the essentials.
Yeah, Mayor Blake, it's interesting to see because we live in Milford, my husband, my son, and I, and, you know, we will still go for walks like on the Solomon Trails. We'll sometimes go down to the green. We'll even go down to the water, and there's little trails down there, as you know, and it is exactly like you said. It seems like a ghost town, which is, it's fascinating to me because weeks ago there were still people playing basketball in the center of the city. There were still, you know, people who were gathering at the duck ponds. you're not really seeing that much anymore. So I think you're right. I think people are starting to heed the warnings, which is a good thing. I wanted to talk to you and get your perspective on this. Milford, unfortunately, has been at the center of a lot of news in the last couple of days. Golden Hill Rehab Pavilion, that's been obviously the center of an investigation. A second person died connected to COVID-19. Dozens more have tested positive for it in that facility. What's being done from your knowledge at this point? And are there other facilities that you're keeping an eye on?
We are. We have three main long-term care facilities in Milford. All of those we are taking a close eye on our health department, as well as the Department of Public Health at the state level that oversees it. You know, the one long-term care facility that you mentioned, the State Department of Health has essentially taken that over and is very active and has been over the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So it's something that our health department really has stepped up to make sure that our entire community, especially those segments of the community that have vulnerabilities, are looked after. We do have a health director that's second to none, someone who's really an expert at the local level, the regional level, and the state level. And she has done a wonderful job preparing us and making sure that we are well positioned to address and to respond to COVID-19.
And before the pandemic even came about, Mayor, we were actually going to have you on to talk about there were some big changes in the works for Milford Hospital. And then all of a sudden this kind of happened. Where is Milford Hospital at in the midst of this pandemic? Are they also on the front lines dealing with patients, or where are we at with them?
So Yale New Haven Health Bridgeport Hospital at the Milford campus, which is the new name, it's a mouthful, but they are part of the Yale New Haven Health system, obviously one of the premier hospitals in the nation and the world. And the Milford campus is not focused on taking COVID patients. They are focused on other things in terms of our healthcare system. Not to say that as this virus grows and continues and we reach the peak of the curve, you know, every hospital in the state may be addressing this. But at this point, in terms of the Yale New Haven Health System, the COVID patients are not being, to my understanding, at least within the last couple of days that I've been told, are not being directed to the Milford campus.
We're taking a moment here and speaking with Milford Mayor Ben Blake. Your Honor, your police department released a new PSA video yesterday about staying safe and staying home. What are police facing in Milford, and have you enforced anything specific for public spaces like beaches and parks?
So our first responders, you know, also have stepped up mightily, our fire, our police, all of the healthcare workers in our town. We have closed down our basketball courts, our pickleball courts, our tennis courts, the skate park, because those are confined spaces that don't allow for physical distancing, social distancing. We have, however, left open those open spaces, our walking trails and our hiking parks, as was mentioned, and beaches and the areas that do allow for social distancing. But we're encouraging everyone to please, if you're going to be out and about biking or hiking or jogging or doing something solitarily, then you need to do it in a respectful manner where you're taking into account the physical distance between you and other people that are also out exercising.
Mayor Ben Blake, we thank you so much for taking a few moments. And, we want everybody to be safe. We want you to be safe. We want your town to be safe. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes. And I hope we can talk to you again as this pandemic continues.
Absolutely. Be well.
With us here is Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Hospital. And, he's been joining us at least once a week since the coronavirus thing broke. And, Dr. Brown, it's a pleasure to have you here this morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Tony?
We're doing okay. So glad you're here. Now, the president's task force called this week and next the worst to come for the pandemic. How is Griffin Hospital equipped and ready for patient numbers?
We've been preparing, as you've heard in the past, we've been preparing quite a bit for this. And I can tell you, you know, our resources are getting stretched a little. It is getting very busy. I think quite a bit of increased patients in the hospital, in our ICU, and we're noticing that in the community also. So the valley is definitely getting hit.
And we wanted to know, Dr. Brown, what is the latest for your capacity and ventilator numbers? We actually had St. Vincent's come on last week. They said that they've only reached 50% capacity for patients, which is great. And they have 70% of their ventilators available. Again, this was last week. And it sounds like the governor said, you know, that we look pretty good in Connecticut, which is kind of a different story than we were hearing in the very beginning. Where is Griffin at as far as capacity and ventilator numbers?
Right now, I would say we're pretty close to St. Vincent's. I would say about, you know, 50% sounds like a reasonable number. We do have several that are currently in use, but we have quite a few that are still available. We've had some time, given that we knew that there was going to be a shortage. We did have some time to sort of look around and see if we can get local ventilators. And different areas and different companies have been able to come through. So we actually have quite a few ventilators. So we are definitely ready for a potentially wave of the illness.
Dr. Fred Brown is with us here with Griffin Hospital. Now, if someone is exposed to the virus but is social distancing, what are the chances that you'll contract the virus?
It's actually pretty low. So if you're social distancing, and that's about 6 feet away, it's actually relatively difficult to transmit it via airborne. So actually having someone seeing that distance away and going there. I think it's also important, I know we talk a lot about social distancing, but it's also important to not forget to wash your hands. And as I've told numerous people, and people are aware, that the organism can stay on surfaces for up to 3 days if it's not washed. So it's also really important to not only have social distancing, but also to make sure that if someone does have the virus or there's a concern about it, to making sure that we're keeping things clean.
But when you wash your hands or you wash a surface, the virus completely goes away?
It's actually really sensitive to different cleaners. So washing your hands with soap and water, washing your hands with or using Purell for hand hygiene, or washing surfaces with, you know, any disinfectant wipe eliminates the virus. The virus itself on a surface, if you're cleaning it, will end up is actually very sensitive to that cleaning agent.
Interesting. Now, what is, just because this Tony's question made me think of something else. A lot of people, because my husband and I go running every day, a lot of people have actually written into us on Facebook saying you need to leave your shoes outside. What about shoes? Can shoes, I mean, that sounds really dumb, but can shoes carry the virus on their surface? Should you not be bringing your shoes inside?
You can go very, very fringe with this. But if you're outside and you think about it, if you're outside and you're running or even with a surface, you know, UV light is also works really well against the virus. So the likelihood that your shoe is going to pick it up and then you're going to touch the shoe and then you still have to touch your face and mouth. It's a lot of steps to get to that point. And you still have to have a significant amount of virus to end up catching this and developing an infection.
Okay.
So the more likely scenario is that someone sneezes, coughs, or something along the lines on a surface, usually a flat surface, and then you come across that, and then you don't wash your hands, it ends up going to your nose, your mouth, your eyes, and then that's how the virus gets in and gets into your lungs.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. I was feeling bad for leaving my sneakers.
Keep running. I mean, I think we need to be really careful about that because, you know, diet and exercise is really important, especially now, given that a lot of people are, you know, in their homes and, you know, to use the vernacular, a little stir crazy. So we want to make sure that everybody is, you know, exercising and at least communicating with each other. We don't want to be, you know, socially isolated. Social distance or distancing is important, but we also need to make sure that we're communicating with each other. That's important for us as humans.
And I think the only other thing I really wanted to know from you, Dr. Brown, was if you have been exposed to the same people for weeks now. So before the pandemic was going on, I'm just going to throw myself under the bus here.
Mm-hmm.
I have been seeing the same people, Tony Reno. I have seen my husband, my son, and I have seen my parents. I have been seeing them since the beginning of the pandemic and throughout the pandemic. And I know that just in our own family, my siblings are actually were kind of surprised that I would keep seeing my parents. But so my understanding from the governor was, you know, as long as you're keeping to your under five gathering and you've been consistent and you're not going out places, which we haven't been, is it okay to still do that? Like if you've been with the same people all this time, can you keep seeing them or should you at this point be cutting them out too from seeing them?
That's actually a really interesting question. And I think you have to balance, you know, the risks. And ultimately, it's about making sure you're still having those social interactions. If it's the same people, that's not as important to where you've actually been. And if you're careful before you go to visit your, in particular, your parents, you know, making sure that you're washing your hands and making sure you're not, you know, that you're feeling well, and then keeping a social distance, that should be fine.
Okay. That makes me feel better. Thank you.
Dr. Fred Brown, Griffin Health, thank you so much for taking a few minutes this morning. And we'll talk to you next Thursday. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Sounds good. We're looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.